Welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with Julia and Philip Siracusa. Sponsored by Carnation. Airing live on United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. This show's opening has been produced, edited, narrated by Gwen Luckett at gluckett.com.
Everyone, and welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Philip Siracusa. We are broadcasting live from the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. We are fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them. We love them. You'll have to do a few things in order to participate in chat. Go to our YouTube page, UFO Paranormal Radio. You could go to all of our Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, Horsefly Chronicles Radio, SoundCloud, Palmbeam, Twitch, and all of those places where you can watch podcasts. So, guys, I just want to say welcome back, Allison, to the show. We love having you on. We get very excited. Allison, if you don't know, if you haven't listened to our shows, she is a regular on our show. She comes on like every few months to give readings. She's an intuitive spiritual medium. And we love having her on. We always have so much fun. And we're going to be doing some free readings today. But first, we're going to talk about a few topics. Let's see what we can talk about tonight. Phil, you know what I want to ask you?
Mm-hmm.
I know that what you do is you really tune into, you know, loved ones that have crossed over, but yeah. What about like predictions for this new year? I mean, do you ever like tap into like get worried about maybe things that happen? I don't know about you, but I keep getting December, like something's going to happen maybe. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I have had a lot of visions on the last couple of days. What I heard was a purification, which is those two timelines happening. And what I see is there's going to be two different worlds, you know, where we're split into timelines where the people that live in fear, they'll experience the devastation, the destruction, and all the stuff that is part of the old world. And then there'll be the new timeline, which is part of love and like universal consciousness and raising the consciousness. So I see that occurring. And I really think there was a lot of things that happened right after the eclipse. And a lot of things that there's some strange things that happened that there was like a clock that in London where it time glitched.
Okay.
And I feel that that's the speeding up of time. It's a timeline shift. And I feel like that's happening quicker.
Okay.
So that's what I see. So
potentially
December. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that month just keeps flashing.
Maybe that's the month they hit the lottery.
Maybe.
No.
I think
Julie, Allison said something there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think we'll have a lot that happens in November, like leading up to the election.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, look. Look, that's a given, right? Who knows in an unpredictable world? But you said something that was ringing bells. Now, can you explain what you mean when you said that there'll be two timelines, that those that find the light and love, and those that are like, I need you to explain that to us.
So Dolores Cannon, who she was very well known. She was not a psychic. She was actually hypnotist. And what she found was putting all these people under was that there, she talked about these two lines, the new two timelines, the new earth. And it's about people going to that higher level of consciousness, that unification of universal consciousness, and it'll be a complete, so they'll be happening simultaneously. It's kind of like, you know, I have all these books on my shelf, but the ones, there's only ones that like stick out to me that I pay attention to, right? It's like, that's how it's going to be, is there's going to be things happening in the world, but it's where is the energy and the perception and the focus and whether we can see it or not. Because right now it's like, I can see the people in the other dimensions, right? But other people can't see the other people in the dimensions. So that is a different timeline, right? Because what they say in the quantum field is there's multiple, this is study science that shows there's multiple timelines all happening simultaneously. There's no past, present, or future, it's all happening simultaneously. And now they're talking about our lives as the Fibonacci sequence, like where it isn't necessarily like linear, that our lives move more in like a spiral. Yeah. And if you look at things, everything represents that spiral Fibonacci sequence. And maybe when we are born and when we die, it's like how it's represented is it goes wide and then gets smaller and smaller, like as we get older.
So it's very interesting what you're saying. I have a lot of thought into that too, because it kind of makes sense. Two people walk the earth, one sees it and feels it a different way in vibration than the other one.
That's right. Because the thing is, everything is vibration and energy. And there's no doubt that we're raising in consciousness. They knew that we would be raising in consciousness at this point, that how long we've been on the planet, right? We're evolving, right? And how I see it is that there is a force, an organized force that doesn't want us to awaken, that doesn't want us to evolve, right? But they had something called Project Looking Glass. Have you heard of it?
Project Looking Glass.
This was a CIA investigation into what they call Project Looking Glass. And it was what they wanted to see through the looking glass. And you guys can actually look this up on the internet. This is all studies. And what they found was when they looked into the looking glass, they kept seeing that the light won. That no matter what, that, you know, there was the organizing force of what maybe some people call God or universal force, that won over the dark, right? Because dark always exists with light. You know, we're not, just as much as we believe that there's an organizing force of the light, there's also organizing force of the dark. And there's people that just like they worship the light, there's also an organizing force that worships the dark. And we see that in the mouthpieces of the Hollywood stars, right? Those are the people that are more into the satanic stuff. And we're going to see that more and more showing up in our world, because the more we see outward focus of that, the more that means the light's winning, because now they're putting it out. Like before it was more covert, now they're having to put it more outward because the light is more, it's larger, it's getting larger within each one of us as we raise in vibrational frequency. But in this Project Looking Glass, what they found was that they tried to keep changing that outcome. What if we do this? What if we do that? Blah, 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 blah. And either way, every single way was the light won. And so now it's just, we know what the outcome's going to be. It's just there's a force that works in resistance to getting that. So it's like we already know that's going to be the outcome, but there's organizing forces that affect that. You know,
very interesting and fascinating stuff. You know, a lot of people ask me too, and I don't even know the answer. You say that past, present, and future are simultaneously. Explain that.
So
my future is right now. Is that what you're saying?
So basically all there is the present moment. And that's all there is. But we're seeing it linear as past, present, and future, but all there is the present moment. And it's as we go into the, if we view into the future and our perception into the future, we can change the past because all timelines are happening all at the same time. So it's, we can change how we interpret the past. If we can go into time, this is in the Hollywood movies. There's, you know, different movies that show it's like the timeline. You can shift your timeline. You can shift the past. What happened? What occurred? And this is all, there's over 10,000 versions of it that exist in the quantum field. This is not me just saying this. This is actual science that you can look up. So there's multiple versions on multiple different timelines. And how I see it is there's one of me in the lower timeline. And like when sometimes I make choices that aren't aligned with my highest timeline. And as we more align with our higher self and get to that highest vibrational frequency, that is the highest timeline for us. And that's the timeline we want to align to, because there's multiple times. There's maybe a timeline of me in my last relationship, there's a timeline with me without kids. There's a timeline with me working a regular 9-to-5 job. There's multiple timelines that exist, but what is the one that's in highest alignment for me, the most authentic version of me? And that's where I feel like we want to keep aligning ourselves to that timeline.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, and a lot of people are going to have this question. This version of you dies right now. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that the other 10,000 and something still exist? How does that work?
Well, this is the thing, is do we really die? Because the thing is this is just like an avatar, right? Just like the, but when we die, our soul never dies. It goes on and on. There's no ending and no beginning. It continues on and on, right? So I can take my soul into another avatar. Just like if I died in the game, I could take it into another avatar.
Okay. Yep. It's
interesting. And Jewel, I'm gonna tell you why I'm finding this to be fascinating is because, well, we're paranormal investigators, okay? And what our job is we investigate ghosts and see what's haunted and what's not. And what we do know verbatim is that ghosts do exist. And then the question remains, are they ghosts or are they what you're talking about? A version, hear me out, mm-hmm. a version of a person that is still within the timelines that we can't conceive in the physical realm because we exist on so many different levels of us. So it's kind of like, are we investigating the shadows of another person that exists just that way? And I come to that conclusion in a way, because when you invest a location, right? And let's say you hear somebody going up and down the stairs, but the stairs don't exist. But the stairs did exist in a previous home that was bi-level that mm-hmm. the family or someone died in.
Yeah.
That was back in the 18th, 17th, 16th century. Then you ask yourself, how is that possible? And then I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm trying to connect those dots.
Well, the thing is things exist in a thought form, right? So if I move this chair and it's been there 10 years, but I you know, believe it's still there. I'm still walking around the chair. It's a thought form. And that thought form is super powerful because it's more powerful than the chair actually being there because I've locked it into my mind. I've locked it. It's kind of like how I can like it to is like, we have this, we lock people in thought form. So like with my ex-husband, it's like, I locked him into a certain thought form. So when I was interacting with him, I was interacting with him in that thought form. Right. And so what I realized was, wow, like I'm not giving him the ability to shift anymore because I see him as this. I see him as I saw him, during the divorce and all the nasty things that happened, you know what I mean? But as I realized, like, as I evolved as a person, it's like, I can, as I release that thought form of him, he has now the flexibility to shift, you know? So it's, the thing is we lock things in time on a timeline in a thought form, and we don't allow that to shift because of that.
You know, very interesting. Dolores Cannon said, now, I guess that you like her work and her thoughts and maybe her beliefs. Now, she also said, which is hard to believe, but again, you know, there's that big question mark because we don't know everything. Nothing exists. Only thing that exists is what you manifest to exist. Therefore, nothing around you exists, only that you created it to exist. You materialized it into a way of consciousness for it to be real. What state are you in?
I mean, I believe that because
the what, reality- No, wait. What state do you live in?
Oh, I live in Florida.
Okay. So you live in Florida. And according to her thought process, right now, you could say Alaska does exist. But it does not exist, according to her beliefs, because I studied her work, until you get there, then it exists. It's just a word. So now the question for you is, here's the mind blow, everybody. You ready? I love mind blowers. Who's creating the reality right now of who exists? Are you creating me or am I creating you into my consciousness?
Wow.
That's a question that we have to bring someone up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, everything, what they say is it's everything's, you know, is just atoms, right? And how I see it is if everything's vibration and frequency. So it exists at a certain vibration of frequency and we can't see it. It's like someone that's passed over or the ETs or the angelic beings, they exist, or the unicorns or dragons. They exist, but they exist at a vibrational frequency. And are our eyes tuned in or are our beings tuned into that? So like other states in the world probably exist, but is our vibrational frequency attuned to it? And what of it can we actually see? Because we don't see, we are dumbed down to using the five senses, right? And we believe what we're told. But what if we started to like open our perception to believing beyond the five senses and started, and someone told us that this existed? Could we see it? Maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's called the universal law, where you put yourself in an area and you live in this area, and all of a sudden you know, nothing's going right for you. Nothing, but your soul, your inner vibration saying, go to this place, this state. And all of a sudden you move with your family, whatever, and everything starts to come your way. All the positivity, and you're like, well, how is that possible? It's because I go back to her work, Dolores Cannon. What she was saying is the law, the universal law of attraction goes with people that you can be with or not be with, and money and everything around you. It's that your soul is attracted to certain areas. You know, when Julia and I, we pass old settings, like old homes back in the 50s, 60s, I feel at home when I look at the houses, right? Mm-hmm. More than I would see this, if I could see a new mansion made today, it doesn't impress me. I don't feel home. It's nice, but it doesn't do anything for me. But the oldest style homes resonate with my soul. It's like, mm-hmm. I want to be back there. And that tells me that it probably was at one time, you know, living that life, you know, and that's why I want to go back to that style, the easy modern style of just living naturally, you know, and I don't need all those big fancy things. But yeah. Isn't it fascinating? Like I believe that we're a form of collective consciousness that we're having an experience. And you're right, you know, it's this topic could just go on and on, but it's fascinating. And you said that, well, do we die? I asked that question too, you know, do we actually die? According to some people, no.
Yeah.
No, we're just creating the experience, but I don't want to take too much of the show, but interesting stuff to say the least.
I have to say there is an area right near our house that I know that you're really drawn to, and I am too in a way. And I know that you feel, you always say, I feel like I've been here before, right? That area.
Yeah. And it's nothing like you would look at like, okay, but I feel like it's home. And it's interesting, right? It's nothing fancy or nice. It's just homes built in the maybe the 50s or 60s, but it just resonates my vibration.
Yeah, it's the vibrational frequency. Because when I arrived at school, because you know I went to school in Lilydale, New York, which is home where they have the psychics, the mediums, the fourth and fifth generations, and they, you know, they had a program there. But I arrived at the weekend, and I just knew, I was like, this feels like home to me. And I had never been there before, but I was like, I know I need to be here. And that's when I like signed up for the year program. Then I did another year because it's like I wanted to be in that vibrational frequency. And it was crazy because during that time that I was in school, we had an astrologer come. You know, we had all different types of teachers, but an astrologer. And she came in and did people's readings. She's like, oh, and she does like where ley lines, like places where you could like go where you're more at the higher vibrational frequency if you live in that area. Is it called it's astrocartography, I think, the astrology. And anyway, she said, oh, well, you would have been here in Lilydale. And I was like, what? It was just accident that I arrived here. She's like, oh, no, nothing's accident. Like, she's like, I've been doing this 50 years, like nothing's accident. And I was like, whoa. So at one point in time, I would have arrived there. I would have had to arrive there because it's like my soul would have called me there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we have someone in down here, so are we ready?
We're ready.
Mary.
How are you?
Hi. Hey, Mary.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Jessica. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. You know what? I was just listening to what you guys were saying. That's so strange because I was in Greece and I'm not even Greek. I'm Sicilian. And I felt like I'd been there before. Like I knew where I was going, like walking on the beach. And it was a really weird feeling. So I definitely can relate to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to be in a foreign country, I think that's interesting. But my friend's dad said to me, I never saw anybody more at home in a foreign country than you. Because I just felt so at home there. It was weird.
Wow.
I love that word, at home. It's like our new word.
That's true.
Yep.
Cool. So I'm gonna connect in with Mary and do her reading.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So as I connect in, Mary, I feel like there's a lot of up and down happening for you. It's like up and down. Like, oh God, not this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And recently it feels like a bottom's fallen out for you. And it's like 911.
Pretty much.
So who is it that's passed over you like to connect with?
Passed over? I would say my father.
Okay. So let's connect in with him. Okay. And as I have a gentleman here, he's got a hat on and it feels like it's a pretty big hat. Did he like to wear hats?
No, I never saw him wear a hat.
Okay. So let's just be open because it could be your grandfather.
It could be somebody else. Absolutely.
Okay. Um, And I feel like he's speaking, I feel like he's speaking in a strong accent too. And it's like he's proud of that accent. Okay. And he's showing me, did he have anything going like I'm having trouble like breathing?
That could be my father's father, but he died when I was very young.
Okay, because
I didn't really know him.
This feeling of like,
or it could be my brother. My brother passed from COVID last year.
Okay, and how they come in is obviously I would love to speak with the person that you want to connect with, but
oh no, I know how it works. It's
fine. Feeling of the healing order in which to connect.
Okay. Right.
And I feel like he was showing me that hat because it's like the sun. He didn't like the sun. It's like the sun on his face.
Right.
And it's like that. And I feel like it's like this, he always having like a burn, some sort of burn on his face, you know, like coloring on his face. Okay. Or he's showing me something with that. Did he work outside?
No. If it was my father is very dark skinned, but he hated the sun.
Okay. So I think we have multiple people here.
I think you do too. We're
all like rushing to speak with you. So,
and my brother was also very light skinned. He was light skinned, but my father was very dark.
Okay. So let me ask them to step back and let's communicate with your brother first. Okay. And they still all want to talk. So I have somebody that has this leg. It's almost like a leg issue. It feels like they pull, like they're having to like, you know, leg kind of pulls behind them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And is this your brother?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's just showing me, oh man, I have so many regrets in how I lived. It's like, I didn't take care of myself the way that I wished I could have.
That's true.
You know, I didn't say the things that I wanted to speak to people. It's like, I needed to say these things to people. I needed to speak up. And I feel like it's like this heaviness of not being able to use his voice properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of unsaid, like things that he wished he would have voiced.
Right. Well, that makes sense. He died unexpectedly. So, and yeah, you know, when that happens, you don't get to say what you want to say.
Yeah. And I feel like that's got kind of his personality was like, okay, I'll go with the flow, please people kind of.
Yeah.
And that kind of caused a lot of neck pain. He's showing me it's like neck pain for him, like on, you know, one side of that in his life. It's like he didn't get to express himself fully. And he showed me, it's like, he's surrounded by women. You know, I feel like,
right.
You know.
Well, he's my half brother, and his mother has a twin who also passed on. So I'm thinking that's probably who it would be.
Okay. And did he have kids, like daughter?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's what he's showing me. It's like, with these women, they were like hot women, like with the like their temper kind of thing. So it's like you don't say anything back to somebody, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
You just kind of gotta keep your mouth shut because anything you say is gonna be wrong.
Well, he was just very a laid back kind of person. Nothing ever rattled his cage. So he probably didn't say a lot of things that maybe he wanted to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like this is what one of his regrets is like, I should have spoken up. I should have said these things that, that I needed to say. And he's directing my attention to, do you have a, like another sibling, like another.
Yeah, we have three other brothers.
Okay. And I feel like there was a direct conflict with one.
Yes.
And that feels like this.
And at the end, they weren't talking.
Yeah. And it's like, I wish I wasn't so petty with the way that I handled myself and my ego getting too proud to say, you know, I love you and you mean a lot to me, instead of making things, you know, it's like almost like he showed me, it's like him borrowing things and then, you know, the brother not returning him and then him getting petty. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, they had some issues. And yeah. And I said that too, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You should talk.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's what happened.
He's just like, I want to free myself from this. Like, I want to free myself from this imprisonment of not telling him how much he meant to me, not telling everybody how much they meant to me.
Right.
Like, being the strong guy, the big guy, to like kind of just show.
You know, and he was the oldest.
Like, show. So. You know, I never showed my feelings of how I cared, how much I cared. Right. And this attitude of not caring, like, I cared so much. I was so sensitive. And I feel like I'm the most sensitive of the bunch.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that I should have said these things. I should have told everybody how much they meant to me. And now he's directing his attention to mom. And I feel like it's like, mom was there for me, like, this whole time. Mom was there for me, supporting me in decisions that, like, weren't always the right decisions, but she always supported me. She always showed up for me. Would that make sense to you?
It could be my mother or his mother. We have the same father, but not the same mother. But he was also very close with my mom.
Okay. So, would it make sense to you for him saying, like, your mom always supporting him?
Yeah, he'd said that about her before.
Okay. Cause I feel like she was a mentor to him.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. In a lot of ways.
That gave him direction, but didn't judge him in the choices that he made, you know?
Right. Like, right.
Okay. You know, let's look at this level-headed, but, you know, is that the right choice? And not really telling him what to do, more giving him the information. He's like, I feel like he's connecting that with you in some things for you that you have to make some decisions on, that you're
right.
Like stagnant on, stuck. And it's like, what if you could lean on mom to assist you in, she has a lot of higher wisdom, and he's like showing her as a high priestess.
That's interesting.
And it's like, that's the archetype, right? And, but not necessarily in making the decision, but in the bigger picture of the decision. It's like, kind of like, you need help navigating the decisions you're making right now.
Right.
And you're in a cycle of your own thinking. Like, you can't get beyond your own thinking. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you need someone to assist you beyond your thinking, to kind of just say, oh, here, this is the map right here. And like, this is the choices. Right.
Right.
Someone outside of yourself. And that's what he's kind of directing your attention to. And is this in relation to, is this in about relationships?
It could be. I have a lot going on. Yeah. A lot.
Because it's almost like what he showed me is like, she's like a ninja in relationships.
A ninja.
Sorry.
That's funny.
And this like way to like navigate, like this, navigate the energies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, she knows how to navigate energy in the way that, okay. And he's also saying that about you too. You have this way of navigating with energy. Would you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, sometimes you use the force. You have a lot of force.
Well, okay. I'm a psychic medium also.
Oh my God. So
that's probably why you're picking that up.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. A lot of force in the way you navigate the energy. That makes a lot of sense. And he's just saying that sometimes that could be navigated in not the way you want it to be navigated.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that directive force is in the right, is in alignment. Is in alignment for in alignment with your truth, in alignment with where you want to put the force. It's like, once you put the force in it, it's like anything's possible. And you have to be careful where you put it because it's directive. And you know, it's like a laser.
I know.
So you putting it into the line of the alignment, and that's going to be like fire. Like if you want to align it with, this is what I want, like put it there.
Right.
Because it's just, it's like, it's almost like just this super like cosmic force that can create universes, but it can also be destructive if not used to align with your truth, right?
Right.
In the direction that you want to go. Right. Okay. And he's just reminding you of your power. It's like in this situation, in these situations that you're in, this series of things, it's like almost like you kind of go into this default of, I don't know what to do, but you do know what to do if you stand in the power.
Okay.
So he's just reminding you of like, you're so powerful. You're this powerful force that like, can create so many things. But in this situation, since it's your own, it's like sometimes you lose that power to others. You lose that power to things. You give that power away. It leaks out.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
And he's saying like, gather up your power, bring it in and direct it.
Like, okay.
Direct it into things that don't exist now. It's like, okay, this doesn't exist, but let's create this.
Right. I do that. But yeah. I get distracted, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we do have to break. We have someone else that's ready to come up.
But thank you.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay.
Have a good night, guys. Are you taking me out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good night.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Okay, cool. That was awesome.
Okay. Gwen. Hey, Gwen. This is Gwen Luckett. Gwen does our banners and our intros, and we love her. Welcome, Gwen.
Hey, welcome. Hi. Thank you guys for such a lovely welcome. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're amazing. Hanging in there.
Yeah, you guys seem to be very busy.
Are you ready to be read?
Okay, cool, Gwen. So I'm just going to check in.
Okay.
I feel like when there's some health concerns you've been dealing with, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like with dealing with those, it's like you stepping into that you're the healer and knowing that you have the ability to heal your own body, that can flip things into a state of empowerment because there's a myriad of different things going on. And I feel like going into like, I'm the healer, I'm empowered in my empowering yourself in your own healing process, that can shift. because I feel like it's a lot to do with the life force field, the bioenergetic field, which is the field outside of our body, is actually the field that creates our health, right? So it's not, it's actually, we're holographic, right? So it actually, disease comes in first into the field and then impacts us. So doing things to increase your life force is going to change some of those health things, because sometimes, have you gone to the doctor and they said, oh, you know, like they can't figure out what's wrong?
Oh yeah.
Right. Because you're not going to be able to figure out what's wrong, because it's the field. The field is what contains the data. It's where the information is. So as you work with the field, that changes the internal, right? So what some of the ways we can work with the field is through natural medicine of acupuncture, chiropractic, energy work, naturopathic, kind of that way. I feel like addressing it in that way is going to be more powerful than going direct to the body. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. I've been dealing with health issues, I guess you can say, my entire life. My father and my stepmother took me to the doctor several times because I was having GI issues and nothing to be determined. And right. Throughout this entire time, they didn't realize that I was able to communicate with spirits. And that's what it was coming from.
Wow.
So, and years later, I would become an EMT firefighter, and I was doing that for 20 some years.
Wow.
So I dealt with the trying to help the living, but I was still dealing with the dead doing that too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And also, I could see how that could run down, like, run down the life force too with what you were doing, because the EMT, mm-hmm. like all that stuff is like adrenal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of stress over time on the body, which wears mm-hmm. down our life force.
Yeah.
Let's connect with someone that's passed over. Who is it that's passed over you like to connect with?
My mother.
Okay. So as soon as I connect with her, I see her hair actually up also in the, like, similar to yours, but gray. And she's like, she talks really fast. Does this resonate with you?
That is not mom.
Okay. So let's see if this could be grandma or someone else, or,
don't know. If it is a grandparent, I would not know. They passed when I was young.
Okay. So let's see. I'm trying to get more of what this person's communication is. But how she is she's heavy set. Okay. And I feel like this isn't, do you have like anybody else, like an aunt that's passed?
I have an aunt that's passed, but the description is a heavy set, yes, but the other descriptors.
Okay, I've tuned in a little bit more though now, so let me get in with this one now. And as I connect more with her energy, it's like I'm getting this like very calm person. It's like almost like so calm, like a calmness, and a way of a relaxed way of being. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. She just took me to a piano. Is there a connection with a piano? Oh, are you musical? Are you musical or is somebody in the family musical?
Yeah. My father played drums in bands. My brother was in drumline. I was in drumline. My sister played flute and piccolo. My son plays into drumline.
And what she's showing me is like that for you, like music ignites your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the minute you hear music, it's like all of a sudden, like you perk up. And she's just showing me, it's like, that is something that is like a soul connection that ignites you. And she's like showing me, it's like, what can ignite your soul? She's showing me that that's something that like is just like, it's like, like as soon as you hear that music, it's going to the divine. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's showing me that as a remedy for some of the things that you're dealing with. It's like some of the health stuff. It's like, that's a way to remember your soul. That's a connection mm-hmm. into your soul.
Yeah.
Is there has there been conflict with your mom?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's been some recent discoveries about my mom.
Yeah. And it feels like there's left this bitterness, this bitter taste. Okay. And I don't know if it's on both sides. I feel like it's on your side, like this bitterness, this bitter taste. And it's causing a lot of, has it caused a lot of anxiety?
In the beginning it did. And been dealing with it, and like now that I know more information, it's like I'm not as angry with her.
Yeah,
I'm realizing more things now, and now I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, and so one of the things that your aunt's saying is that, you know, it's where somebody is in their level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect someone to be conscious. You know, it's an evolution for their consciousness. And it's, they make choices that are in alignment with their consciousness of where they're at, right? And it has nothing mm-hmm. to do with someone else. Right. It has to do with where they're at. So she just wants to remind you, this is nothing to do with your work, your self-worth, who you are, like your respect for yourself or for others. It has to do with what her own self-worth, her own self-respect, and like her way, like, mm-hmm. you know, her way and the choices that she made. And she's having to learn that those choices, like the fallout from those choices, like the negative things, she has to learn the lessons from the choices that she's made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a painful pill for her to swallow at her age.
Yeah.
You know, so it's okay if she's in a state of denial and she can't come to the full resonance of where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't expect that. It's where someone can only see, you know, it's kind of like, you know, somebody can only see where a level of where they are, right? If you can't mm-hmm. see the whole picture, you know, it's like, she right. don't see a little bit of it, because it's like kind of like if we lifted the veil, it's like I would die if we lifted the veil, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like she can only see like this little part of it, you know, and it's okay. You don't have to show her everything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? She can, it's part of her evolution and what she needs to do here. But it's left a some karmic resonance with relationships for you with men.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a karmic resonance that you're having to work out in your lifetime as a result.
Mm-hmm.
To rebalance that, right? Because in our DNA, in our blood line, in our lineage, you know, it's like kind of like the planet. It's like, well, my kids are going to have to deal with what we had to do on the planet, right? But like, they didn't do it. They're mm-hmm. not responsible for that, you know, but they're going to have to deal with it, right? So why should they have to deal with it? Well, it's just what we left behind, right? It's kind of like the same thing. It's the same resonance. It's like, you're going to have to rebalance this karmically because it's within your lineage, right? Even though it's not yours, you're going to have, you're taking, you have to take on that resonance to rebalance it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Cause I was in another state when the discoveries were made. And, as soon as I got my thoughts together, I immediately contacted my adult daughter and had a conversation with her and told her everything that I had found out. And I told her, I said, you know, I need to make this right with my kids. I need to make sure they know the truth and not everything that we were told, because I had to set it right. It was up to me to set it right.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how painful it was, I had to set it right.
Yeah. And one of the things that your aunt showed me is like, when you were doing the EMF stuff, it's like your life was alive. Like you had so much going on, there was so much action. There was a lot of people in your life. Like there was a lot of connection, a lot of that. And she wants to kind of invite you back to remembering that part of yourself, because you need to be in connection with people. You come alive with connection with people. You come alive when you're kind of with groups of people, you know? And so she's inviting you to kind of go into the exploration of that somehow, to be in connection with more people, groups of people.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll do that again.
That profession, of course.
No, I'm just saying with groups, I just a lot of lessons were learned over the past few years, and I'm good. I've helped or tried to help the living my entire adult life, and I'm fine with helping the dead for the rest of my life. They don't give me nowhere near as much drama. They don't. I pretty much give them boundaries and they pretty much respect them. I can't say that for the living. Okay. I pretty much, you know, I tell them, hey, you know, don't follow me home. You know, hey, leave me alone. Hey, not right now. They're like, okay, you know.
Well, she wants to get you out. She wants you to get you out and get you in connection with others.
I know exactly who this is. She was such the social butterfly, and she knows I was never like that. And she was always trying. She was always the life of the party, and I'm not. Mm-mm, no.
You know who it is.
I already know who it is. Yep. My dad's sister. I already know who it is.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. God. Yeah. She passed after my dad did. So,
yeah. Well, he's giving you so many kisses. She's like,
She was a Southern Belle, like big time. She's, yeah.
He's spilling out so much love for you. And she just wants to remind you like how much she loves you and how much like you meant to her, and how, you know, you were a counselor for her, you assisted her, and just what a light you are in the world. And she wants wants to remind you of that.
Aw, that's sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was something else. She always had the best Thanksgiving dinners. She really did.
Those are good memories.
Yeah. She always had the best dinners. Her thing was, if you left her house hungry, then that was your fault. Yeah.
Well, Gwen, I'm going to leave that with you. Thank you so much.
No, all right. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Good night. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good night.
Okay, good night. You too. Thank you so much. Oh, that was good. That was so nice.
Yeah.
I liked it. For some reason now, everybody is coming in chat about 10 minutes to the show. Maybe it was a delay. I don't know. But now they're all in.
Wow. Okay.
So, Allison, I have a question for you.
We got a few minutes.
You've done two readings that were very accurate. Are you getting this information telepathically, or are you getting a visual of what the spirit is showing you?
So, you know how the people can get it through hearing, seeing, feeling. I get it through, I see the person. So my first primary is seeing. And so I'll get it with the vision of the third eye.
The third eye.
Yeah. And then I'll receive the information through a telepathic communication in what they, the rest of the communication.
And one more question is, beginning of the show, we were talking about how there's multiple versions of us. Mm-hmm. And now you just connected, which did impress me, by the way. It did impress me because you said Mary's family unit, and you were accurate on that. I was like, wow, okay. So now, if we don't believe in some sort of respect that death does not exist, which version of that person's spirit are you talking to?
Well, I feel like I'm which one? You mean the person? Oh, the person that's passed. I'm talking to the soul.
But the soul is on multiple versions.
The soul is on multiple versions, but how they show themselves is they show themselves as they were, right? Mm-hmm. And so how I see it is like when we are born, we descend down into the darkness, which is the earth. Right. And when we pass over, we ascend up, we ascend in our consciousness. Right. And so there's another level of consciousness that occurs for us in these people that have passed. Right. And so if the more work we do while we're here on the planet in our level of ascension, our understanding of consciousness, the more evolved we are as our soul. Right. And so sometimes the souls that I'm speaking to are evolved and sometimes they're not, right? They're still learning. Depends like where they are, like, because I don't necessarily hear these people say I'm in heaven, right? What I see is they're at different levels, mm-hmm. You know, different levels. So sometimes when somebody's like, say they've committed suicide or they've had a lot of darkness that they've done to others in their lifetime, they go into what I see as a purgatory. They go to this place where they are, you know, when they go in to do the life review, it's like yep. They have to karmically repay the people and serve the people that they did the things that weren't so great to them. And that's how I see it. So I don't know if there is that heaven and hell as we say there is. It's more of different levels of consciousness in which when they soul passes over, where they go.
So you're speaking to the version that the person who was alive would recognize. That's yes. The version you're talking to.
Yes. And they have evolved to some degree.
Right? Yes.
But I never tell people to communicate with these people that have passed and ask them for advice. I always say, go to the universal consciousness, go to God, go to the larger source for communication and information, because these people, like, they could still be at their level of consciousness. If like grandma passed and she's like old time school, she's going to have the same advice. Is that going to be the best advice for me to be more authentic in my like alignment with my path? No, it's going to be what grandma wanted for me.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, I got to go to the higher energy. There's the higher level of, even when I connect with these people that have passed, they're at a, I have to drop my energy to pass with somebody. My level of where I'm at in my energetic and my vibration, I have to drop to connect with the people that loved ones. When I'm connecting with the angelic realm or the ET, like, it's at a higher level of vibration.
We are way over. We're going to
get, oh, okay.
Thank you for explaining that.
Thank you, Allison.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on tonight. We really appreciate you guys doing this for us. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Julia. Thank you.
It was so good. Yeah. Thank you to Carnation for sponsoring the show. And join us next Monday, same time, on 105.3 FM and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. And thank you, Allison.
Okay, awesome. Good night.
Everyone, guys, please share the show. There's a lot of knowledge in this show. A lot of questions I had asked Allison that she was accurate at giving the information. And that helps people who lost loved ones understand how this actually works. So thank you once again, Allison.
Yeah, thank you.
Good
night. Thank you, everybody in chat. Until next time.
Bye. Bye.